Let's pray for him. Thank you, Lord. Father, I just pray for ourselves, Father God. I know Pastor Don is ready. I pray that we're ready for this word. Make our hearts ready. Open our ears. Open our mind. Let us understand what you're telling us today. But more important, Father God, give us the strength to take this enthusiasm out, Father God, and spread it in your name. Amen? Amen.
The old Wednesday night. How many were here for Wednesday night? Kind of raise your hand. Okay, if you weren't here, Bob, get their names. We are definitely going to take names. Send you a little card. Don't miss again. People go through a lot of preparation, preparing themselves. But Dan and Marie came and they spoke about enthusiasm. And they did a great job. They really, and they talked a little bit about apathy. And I couldn't help but think how appropriate it was. During the summertime, you know, we have a tendency to get apathetic, don't we? We have a tendency to maybe shy away from the things that God wants us to do. But there's no season off. There's no off season in the kingdom of God. There might be a short time of rest here and there, but it's an everyday adventure. It's an everyday expansion of the kingdom, and we're part of that. I had a laugh, you know, as I was thinking about enthusiasm. Last Saturday, I got invited to a young lady's graduation party. In fact, Alberto here was his sister, a girl by the name of Molly. And she didn't go to Western, but she went to Melvindale, got to know over the last couple of years. And we developed a real good friendship. And she would come and practice with the girls down there, Clark Park, when we were down there. And so I was fortunate enough, they invited me to their graduation party. So I got over there, and they had the long table all set out. It looked real nice, good food. And guy walked out from the back, and he had a towel hanging out of his back. And as he walked by one of the tables, unknown to him, he kind of swung his hip, did one of those things. You know, Ray Silva, you ever see him walk? He does that. You know, he kind of has that walk thing going. No, I'm sorry, that's different, Ray. That's the Southwest walk, yeah. No, Fred's got the Southwest walk down, you know. Real slow. So anyways, this guy came out, he had that towel hanging out his back, and he kind of flung it, unknown to him. It caught the tablecloth where all this food was. Barbecue ribs, chicken. I mean, you know, they had it broken into different sections. I think there was like three different sections, and he caught it. And as he walked away, he pulled this thing, and the whole tablecloth came with him. He was like doing one of my magic tricks, but he couldn't do it as good as me because I'd pulled it, and nothing, everything would have stayed right where it was at. But he pulled it, and all the food followed him in his train. And there was a lady that was walking by, and the food splashed all over her, knocked her down. The tablecloths underneath the chafing dishes were made out of paper. Okay? And they had the little sternos burning. And all of a sudden, poosh. And it looked like a Mexican hat dance. All of a sudden, Alberto's dad runs out. His name is Steve. And he runs out there. Now, if you got to know, you got to know Steve, because how many operations has he been through? I mean, the guy's worse than that operation game, you know? He's got the arm, he's got the shoulder, he was in an accident. He can barely walk, and he's running out there stomping on this thing, and as he's stomping on it, he's trying to put this fire out. And I'm standing back, and I'm laughing. I mean, the whole, you know, I shouldn't have done that. I should have pitched in, but it was too funny, you know? And, you know, I'm just laughing at, like, look, poor Steve. I want to say, Steve, would you get the heck out of there? It looked like they had it contained. And then this guy that I knew from town here, maybe some of you guys knew this guy, Charlie Johnson, known him for years. He comes running up with a pitcher of beer and throws it on the fire, you know, to douse it, because, I mean, it was, you know, it was actually kind of smart. It was the closest thing that he had to him. And poor Steve, he's got beer all over him. He's got burnt legs. He's hobbling around. But the thing that I noticed was the enthusiasm that a little bit of fire could cause. Amen? You know, you had Steve there dancing, doing his thing. You had the other guy throwing the anointing oil on it. I mean, there was something prophetic about that graduation party. Poor later in the night, poor Molly, she was in a car accident after that, wasn't she? Somebody told me she was driving home after that. But, you know, I couldn't help but think of that, how a small fire will draw people's attention. Amen? And We lose sight of that. And a lot of times we're told to kindle that fire up within us, aren't we? You know, if you know the story of the Old Testament, they had an altar in front of that temple. And that altar, there was a sacrifice that had to be offered twice a day. It was called the continual burnt offering. And in the morning, they would kill a lamb and they would put it on there. And that thing would roast on there all day. Kind of like when a raised pig roasts, you know, you just cook it real nice. And then later in the day, they had to take another lamb and kill it in the afternoon and they would put it on. But this fire that was on there was perpetual. They could never let it go out. It was started by the hand of God Himself. And so the job of the priest was to kindle that thing. And they had to go and they had to chop down trees and they had to prepare the wood and they had to bring it and they had to make sure that fire never went out. And that's a lesson for us, is that that fire that burns deep within our heart should never go out. Amen? That we need to stoke it up. And sometimes, you know, if you've ever been around one of Pastor John's fires, you know that he'll never let that thing go out. I mean, he's showing everything on. I saw him dragging a couch one time to put on that thing, you know. Pastor John, get the fire. He melted our grill. We bought a brand new grill a few years ago for the church. I mean, this thing was beautiful, you know. Fred was out there like worshiping it. Oh, Lord, thank you. Beautiful grill. Beautiful grill. And Pastor John had like two cans of lighter fluid, like you know, just lighting this thing. And I mean, flames are going up and the thing melted. That's how intense the heat was. He did. So the lesson is, don't ever let him start a fire at your house, in your fireplace. I mean, if he takes up smoking, don't even let him light the cigarette around you. Who knows where that thing's going to go. But as I thought about it, I was thinking about the early church. Turn over to chapter 2 in the book of Acts real quick. And it's a very familiar story for all of us. But I want to show you that not only in the Old Testament did the fire fall, but God initiated a fire in the New Testament that is still burning today. And we have a responsibility to stoke that thing up. We have a responsibility. You know, that's why we've, on Sunday mornings now, we have prayer from 8:30 to about 9 o'clock. Why do we do that? Because we want to stoke that fire up. When we come in here, we want to be ready. Amen? When we gather 10 minutes before the service begins, we want to stoke that fire up even more. We have the class upstairs. Why? So we want to stoke that fire by putting the Word in us. And then when we come for the praise and worship, we're ready. And we say, Lord, we're already set on fire. Ignite us a little bit more. Ignite us just a little bit more. Let us burn. Let us blaze so that we can draw others. Like, you know, Alex, she was talking about the salt, you know, being thrown out there. And you know, sometimes they would salt fire. And that salt would make that flame even brighter and change different colors. And there was a purpose to that. But we have been called. So Acts chapter 2, familiar. And I'm going to call a couple people up in a minute. And actually, I'll get more into the teaching next week. But I want to have people share how that fire has been stoked in their life and what has happened. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Sound like they were having a church meeting, right? They were. But prior to this time, what was going on in their lives? You know, Jesus had, he was resurrected from the dead, and he had spent 40 days with them. And they had all a great time. They couldn't even believe he was alive. And then he ascended into heaven. He said, wait in Jerusalem for 10 more days. And at the end of 10 days, you will receive the gift that my Father has promised, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of us don't even know what the role of the Holy Spirit is. But his job is to empower us to be witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. But during this 10-day lull between Jesus' ascension and the pouring out of the Spirit of God, I imagine them up in this upper room. There's about 120 of them, about what we have here. And they were probably thinking, what is going to happen? We have no idea. All we know is the Master told us to wait. And they knew they had to be obedient to. How many were in Fred's class today? Raise your hand. You know what he talked about? Ricardo, what did he talk about today? Very good. You paid attention. About obedience. And sometimes we got to obey, but we don't know what the result is going to be. We don't know how God is going to move in a particular situation. Amen? You know, I love the story, Sammy and Candace. You know, when they got their house and everything, you know, and he didn't even have a job. And you remember he came up and he said, I just need prayer. I don't know how God's going to move, but I believe he's going to move. And all through the different circumstances in their life, God moved and got him a house and got him a job. It was incredible what had happened. And I'm sure the same for each one of us. You know I always tell people about the stories of me coaching the girls, and it's always like when there's a need, I just go before God and say, God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know we need this. One day I was saying, you know what? We need a batting cage. Now, you got to be specific when you ask God certain things. Okay? I didn't ask for like a $10,000 batting cage. And I didn't ask for a $5,000 batting cage. All I said, God, I need a batting cage. So I come driving up to Clark Park one day, and I look, I go, hey, a batting cage. Where did that come from? Well, it was the boys' batting cage. And if, you know, and it wasn't in very good shape. It was pretty raggedy, but like I said, I just asked for a batting cage. I didn't say, I want a new, I want something, you know, crystal clean here, something that, you know, balls aren't going to go out. You know, girls, they hit the ball, it goes through the bottom part and hits somebody, you know, out on the soccer field, which I don't care because soccer's the devil's sport anyway, so amen. We try to eliminate them. God, I hate soccer. Amen. Can I get an amen on that, amen? The communist attempt to destroy American football. That's all I know. So I got this batting cage that's just a piece of garbage, but guess what? It was efficient. The boys had got the new one. They had somehow got a donation or raised money, but thank God they gave it to us, and it worked out fine. And sometimes you can take something that's old and torn apart, and it doesn't look very good on the outside, but it can be very effective. Amen? Amen. And just because I turned 60, that's what I'm saying. I don't know about you, but when I turned 60 yesterday, my prayer was, God, I pray the years that I have remaining supersede anything I ever did prior to these years. I'm not slowing down. I'm running ahead. I know that God, with His anointing, hey, sometimes we can't move physically as fast as we used to. We can't think as quick as we used to, you know, lift maybe as much as we used to. But I'll tell you what, well, I'm not stopping. It's like until the day that God, I draw my last breath. So I have no idea what it is. But here we see they were all gathered in this upper room, and they were wondering what God was going to use or do in their life. You ever wonder that? I don't, you know, one of the common prayers we get all the time is, I want to know God's purpose for my life. How many have prayed that? I know I have. And sometimes we don't, you know. And, you know, I look at like Donovan and his family. Hey, God's prayer, you're a teacher. You're an administrator. Do that to the best of your ability. Whatever your hand finds to do it with all your might is unto the Lord. Amen? Maybe it might be coaching. You know, for Jesse back there, I don't know what his calling in life is except to be a servant to me and do whatever I tell him to do when he's working over here. But as we kind of grope sometimes, God is very specifically will get things, but we find out that we really have a clear understanding what when that fire, when that enthusiasm, I mentioned the other night, you know, they were talking about the definitions of enthusiasm. And they gave all the Webster Dictionary and Noah Webster and all that. But the word itself, enthusiasm, means this. It comes from a Greek word, which is almost similar to it. Donovan probably knows what it is. I can't pronounce the doggone thing. It's Greek to me. En, E-N, means to be in something. And theo, what does theology mean? God. It means to have God possess you. God inside of you. God controls you. And it used to be a derogatory term because, you know, they would see people, you know, in the pagan cultures and they would say that they were, enthusiastic and they came from kind of a crazy religious background. And it was used during the Middle Ages for people that had these kind of esoteric experiences. But it means to be completely controlled by God. And so when I heard that message the other night, I said, I like that. I like what that means. I want to be controlled by God. I want His presence inside me. You remember when God formed Adam out of the dust? And what did He do? It said he breathed into his nostrils and he became a living being. When God's breath begins to enter you, when the Spirit of God comes upon, I'm going to tell you what, you're going to start living life the way it should be lived. Amen. So they're in this room and they have no idea what's going to happen. And I'm going to pause right there because I'm going to bring Darren up real quick. Him and his wife, come on up here. I'll give you a microphone. Because they've been jet-setting all over the place. I don't know where you guys get the money. I'm going to have to check. Come on up here. He started telling me where he went. I go, God, I've never been that many places. I've been on, I don't know how many mission trips, and these guys, really under God's favor, pray for me that I can travel. Like, okay, I want you to share what God had just recently done with the both of you guys and what is going on.
Yeah, so it's really fun. So Laura and I, we work with college students here in Detroit. So some of you guys don't know us. This is my wife, Laura. I'm Darren. But we had an awesome opportunity this summer to travel a lot. So we were gone for a while. We went to Chicago for 6 weeks, and there's like a summer mission trip where a lot of college students from many different campuses around here go to. And so we were there for 6 weeks with tons of college students, just really doing life with them. And what they do is a lot of the college students who come actually raise support to go there, and then they get a job, and then they do ministry. We train them on how to share their faith and really, you know, how to have a lifelong, like, walk with God. So something that was really cool about that trip for me specifically was I had this one guy, his name was Drake. And coming in, you assume that these students raise support. They're on fire for the Lord. They're ready to be leaders pretty soon. And so I met up with him about six times. And the first three times, I'm just trying to get to know who he is. I'm like, hey, what's your walk with the Lord like? You know, how did you come to faith? You know, where are you at? And so just his responses were just kind of like, it's like he had the Sunday school answer. He knew what to say, but it just wasn't as like heartfelt as I thought that maybe somebody who was walking with the Lord should be. And so I just asked him several questions about his faith. And so anyways, we're sitting there, and I turned to him, and I, you know, just kind of really felt led by the Lord to challenge a little bit here. And I said, okay, God, this is in your hands here. But I turned to Drake, and he's from Ohio State. He's a sophomore, going to be a junior. And I said, Drake, I was like, you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I was like, when I ask you, like, you know, like how your walk with God is, and when you share your testimony and you talk about God, it just seems like God's like really far away and like not near and dear to your heart. And so he sat there for a minute, and he goes, Darren, you know what? You're right. God is not near and dear. And then I started asking him, like, but you keep saying you're a Christian. Like, you know, why are you saying you're a Christian if you don't really even know why Jesus died on the cross for your sins? And so it was just really cool. And so he started just professing, like, yeah, I'm not a Christian at this moment. And I said, hey, man, do you want to go home? Like, or do you want to be here? Because this is what we're doing is, you know, ministry. And, you know, I encouraged him to stay, but he said, no, I do want to know God. I just don't know how. And I said, that's awesome. So we started going through just like some basic just scripture and John 3:16, very common verse up there. But just kind of walking through, what the gospel is, who is Jesus, and what did he do for you? And, you know, I didn't leave anything open. I didn't assume he knew anything at this point. And so we're going through, and then there came a point where I gave him so much information, but he's like, Darren, I just can't surrender. I don't know what that means to surrender. He's never had to surrender. He's had everything provided for him his entire life. And I was like, honestly, this is something that only God can do at this moment. So I actually even took the back seat and I said, Drake, there's nothing more I can tell you except you need to read the word and you need to ask God, hey, to reveal yourself to him. And so we're going through this process. He's wrestling hard, really hard. Every time we meet up, it's just like, he's just really trying to figure this out, and he can't do it. And so I told him, hey, read through Romans, you know, read through and just see and ask God to reveal yourself. And so our last time that we got together, it was so encouraging, but he sits down and he goes, Darren, I know you told me a million times to read and ask God. Well, just 2 days ago, he's like, I was reading through Romans, and it finally clicked, and I said, God, would you reveal yourself to me? And he said, at that moment, he finally realized that Jesus makes us stand right before God, and it's nothing that he could do anymore. Mm-hmm. And so at that moment, I was just like, oh my gosh, like I am so overwhelmed. I'm so overjoyed because this is where I wanted you to come to, but it wasn't anything that I could do. It was up to the Lord now. And so I said, I didn't even have an answer, and I said, hey man, can you just pray right now? Just pray. I was like, you don't have to impress me. Don't try to like say fancy words. Just speak what's on your heart. And his prayer was the most surrendered prayer I've ever heard in my entire life. And so I was just overjoyed, super pumped. I'm still in communication with him now. And he's like, Darren, I just can't believe it. He's like, I read the word now, and I'm like eating it up, you know. And so that's kind of like, yeah, we got to be with students. I had three guys total, and then Laura had four girls. Yeah, so that was a lot of fun. So we did, yeah, Chicago. And so that was just awesome. And so his name is Drake, and it's like I'm continually praying for him, and he's definitely on my heart every single day. I'm just, you know, it's like only something God could do, and just Amen. Being in prayer. So.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Give him a round of applause. The only reason I had them share that is because you notice what he said. He was what? Pumped up. He was fired up. You know, here he is, he's sharing the gospel with somebody. You know, it's kind of funny. Here this guy's going to be a leader at Crew. We got to check this group out a little bit more. You know, hiring people that aren't even saved. Remind me of the time we were down in Jamaica and everybody from the church, I think Brian, maybe Joe was there, and everybody wanted to get baptized in the Caribbean Sea. And the guy from Washington, D.C. goes, hey, do you guys baptize people at your church? You know? I go, yeah, we do. I don't know what, you know, these guys do. But, you know, that's encouraging to hear that. You know, that these are people that we support. You know, they go out and there's always something. And like you said, that fire within you gets stoked up. That enthusiasm, God in you, and it's like, oh, I want to do more. I'm going to have one more person come up. You don't mind, do you? Oh, you don't mind, do you?
No.
Oh, okay, okay. If you do, then, you know, I'll tell them to sit. Mitzi, yeah, don't, come here. To tell them a little bit about your house and your job, what God has done there.
A long story, but I want to make this brief.
Please.
God is just awesome. What could I say, right? And we have awesome leaders that we can come seek for guidance, and they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and they really speak life to us. So I have to give kudos to Bob and Pastor and Esther and everyone along the way that has motivated me, encouraged me when I didn't see what God had for me, right? About several months ago, 2 months ago, we moved into our new home. It's a blessing from God, but it was a struggle to get there, right? I think everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. And Amen. I began to question, and I began to say to my husband and I began to think, maybe we're just not in the timing of God. But then I remembered reading the story of Jacob and thinking of how he had to fight for his blessing, right? And one night, we're in our new house, and they had to reschedule our closing 3 times, which was insane, and my husband was going crazy trying to figure out, I need to talk to one of the top managers of the bank to sort all of this out. And I'm in the new house, which our builder was kind enough to just let us go in whenever we want it, and I'm sweeping and mopping the basement floor, and it was a rough concrete, right? And so it was a lot of work. And as I'm cleaning the floors, I remembered Jacob, and I remember him going through this journey, right? And he was 80 years old when he fought with that angel, and he fought and he fought and he fought for his blessing. And it made me think, I have to fight for my blessing. God did say that this was for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to start thanking God. So I'm sweating and mopping, and I'm like, Lord, I thank you for your blessing. Let us see beyond our circumstances. Let us see beyond what we feel that everything is coming down. And I just pray that you release that. And I began to pray and pray and pray. And that day, my husband had called so many people in that bank, and no one would respond to him. And he was, like, so frustrated. And I knew he was like, Mitzi's crazy, because I'm like, Lord, I'm fighting for just like Jacob did, and I'm not giving up, and I'm thanking you. And he just remained quiet. You know, he let me pray and go a little crazy downstairs. And it was like about 9 o'clock, and we're downstairs still, and his cell phone rings. And it was the boss of our mortgage, of the person that was managing our mortgage. And he said, you know, I heard your message. I'm sorry I'm calling you this late. And I was like, Lord, that was just you, because he spent the entire day, business hours, and no one. Right? So we got through our mortgage. And then I remembered, as I was praying downstairs, Jacob struggled and, you know, fought for his blessing. But what he didn't know was that there was a larger blessing that was coming. Not only was he touched and blessed by God, but God was already in the works with restoring the relationship he had lost with his brother. Mm-hmm. Which that was what was in his heart, right? I'm on this journey. I'm going to go see my brother. I don't know how he's going to receive me. But God made that relationship work, and he restored it. And so it made me think, Lord, I think you have more for us, right? And I received a text message from a good friend of mine that was from high school. And he's a co-pastor at a church in Chicago. And he says, you know, Mitzi, I know I haven't talked to you for a long time, but God has a word for you. And in that word, he said, you know, God is taking you to a new dimension because you have that desire to want more of him, and he wants more of you. And so the old will not work anymore. You're going to move into something new. And I said, wow, I got, you know, the new house. And I'm like, what else could be new? And while the day that I went to sign my paperwork for the new house, I received a call from a friend, a partner in the community. She had already called me 4 times. And I'm like, I'm moving. I'm not going to answer anything from work. But I said, let me answer it. And I was like, hey, how are you? I said, I'm on my way to do the closing of my house. And she said, I'm so sorry to be insistent, but I've been promoted and I have a director position. And all I think about is you, Mitzi. She said, I know you love where you work at, but would you consider this? And I was like, what? I was like, well, send me the job description. And I went through it, and I was like, oh, Lord, I love it. It was exactly what I would want to do. And I said, but, oh, I've been 9 years with my company, you know. I have my retirement. I have all of this. Now I have to transfer. How is all that going to work? Well, 2 weeks of that, I have a new job. They transfer all of my retirement, so I get it immediately with the company. I got the same amount of time off, and I got a little bit of extra money. So it's, God is good.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that short story. You know, unfortunately, we're limited by time, but when you hear these stories, how can you not get fired up? And see, I'm privileged because people will call me all the time and they will tell me, Pastor, you know, this is what happened. And I had listened to Mitzi for 5.5 hours as she told me the story, you know. And, you know, Darren, he started telling me before service, I go, hey, Darren, listen, we got praise and worship. Pastor John's not here. Okay, I'll bring you up here. I want you to share it with everybody. And I'm sure there's a whole lot more that I could pick up. But I wanted to whet your appetite a little bit. I wanted you to leave here today going, you know, if God can do it for them, he's no respecter of persons. Amen. And as we started out with this scripture, I'm going to give you an assignment, because we'll come back next week and we're going to get into chapter 2 of the book of Acts. Because their enthusiasm was taken from a point they had no idea what was going on to they were just running over. And it's an incredible story what happens. You know, it was once said that nothing great will ever be accomplished unless you have enthusiasm. And for us as Christians, we know, now knowing the meaning of that word, that we need to be in Christ. We need to have the Spirit of God empowering us. And we don't know how it's going to work. And I'm sure Mitzi, you know, all she knew was there was something more. And then she began to worry, okay, am I going to leave this job? I'm going to be able to take my retirement. And what does God do? Boom, she's able to move everything there. And those that have been blessed with houses, I know a couple people here, Cody and Taylor. You guys just signed on a house, correct? Yep. I know Nathan, his wife, they just moved in, got a house. Somebody else just got a house. I forget who it was. But, you know, when I hear those stories, and that should be something that really inflames us to want to do God's work more. Because God will use you in incredible ways. And we're going to see next week as we go into Acts chapter 2. Here you had 120 people that were just ordinary people. Fishermen, tax collector. We don't even know who, you know, over 100 of them were, except that they were all just a bunch of hanger-oners. They came and they followed Jesus wherever he went. That's a good thing to do, by the way. Incredible life. So as we reassemble next week, I want you to think of those two stories that you heard here today and just how God used them and stoked that fire within it. Because when you get answered prayer, you can't help, what, to get a little bit more excited. God, I like this a little bit more. And if you ever won anybody to the Lord, like Darren did, you know, that fire, that it propels you on. We don't want to be apathetic. There's a lot of work to be done today in the world. Amen? We have Rachel going to Nepal. Who wants to go to Nepal? I didn't even know where it was on the map. I'm like, okay, is that in Africa or, you know, north of Canada? No, I knew where Nepal was. But I'm like, you couldn't go to any further distance. No, you know, if you went to the east or the west, it's about the same distance. Way up there, the Himalayas. But I'm looking forward to how God is going to use her. It's going to stoke my fire a little bit. It's going to stoke the fire here in this church. And that fire is going to burn brighter and brighter. We have God's blessing on that. Amen? Let's close in prayer. I ask the prayer team to come forward. If you still need some prayer, a little bit more in depth, please come forward. When we're done, we have coffee and donuts upstairs. And I know I'm going to see everybody next week, and everybody's going to be calling me, Pastor, guess what God did? Guess what He did in my life? And we get together. We're going to look at that early church, and we're going to see when God set something on fire, and that fire is still burning to today. Father, we give You thanks. I thank You for the couple of testimonies that were shared here, Darren and his wife, for Mitzi. And Lord, I know there's many, many others. And we give You thanks because behind it all is Your sovereign hand. You blessing Your people. And I pray that we would be faithful to You and the things that You have called us to do, that we would be obedient as Fred ministered up in his class. Because, Lord, we know that when we're obedient to You, that is where the blessing is. And we don't want the blessing. Well, the blessing we want is really more of Your presence, more of You. But Lord, we know, too, that You've called us each to a job. And I pray, Father, that You'd bless Your people as we go forth this week. Lord, that the fire in each one of them would be stoked up. Lord, that they would say, Pastor, I got something I want to share this Sunday. And Lord, there'd be a line for testimonials as to Your goodness, to Your greatness. Father, we give You thanks. We give You praise. And Lord, as we gather next, we keep everyone safe and light our fire even more. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless. Stick around. Fellowship. Make sure you read that chapter because there'll be a test.
Since I felt this close to home, I know the fight's not over, but I don't have to fight alone. And I've got to let you know, I just have to let you know. Mistake.